Hello and welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist, your go-to source and resource for navigating the world of special education. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, a special educator, IEP coach, educational therapist, and disability rights advocate. Whether you're a parent or an educator, today's episode is going to deep dive into something that can be confusing yet incredibly important. How do you transition from a 504 plan to an IEP? I'm going to break it down. I'm going to look at the why, because it's necessary to understand that this can be a possibility if your 504 plan is not working. We're going to talk about how to do it smoothly and what to expect along the way. We've all heard the term 504 and IEP, especially in these solo episodes that I've been doing, but what do they really mean for your kiddo? How do you know which plan is right? And if you need to move from one to the other, what steps would you take? Stick with me today because we're going to unpack all of this in a practical, easy to understand, and most importantly, actionable for you as a parent or an educator. Before we get started, let me just set the stage between the difference between a 504 and an IEP. Let's start with the basics. So a 504 plan and an IEP are both designed to support students with disabilities, but they come from different legal frameworks and serve as different purposes. So a 504 is governed by Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. This is a civil rights law that prohibits discrimination against individuals with disabilities. A 504 plan provides accommodations that ensure a student has equal access to their education. Think of it like extended time for tests, breaks during class, seating arrangements. So it helps a student have that level playing field, and it's designed for kids who can stay in the general education classroom, but just need some little supports and some adjustments to thrive. On the other hand, an IEP falls under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, and this is an educational law designed to ensure students with disabilities receive a free and appropriate public education. So the key difference here is that IEPs don't just offer accommodations, they provide specialized instructions. So these are services like speech therapy, occupational therapy, targeted academic interventions that are needed for a student to make progress. Here's a key point to remember. While all students with IEPs qualify for a 504, not all students with a 504 plan qualify for an IEP. So what do I mean here? An IEP for a student who needs something more than accommodations, they need that specialized instruction to keep up academically. And again, that 504 plan has just accommodations, not specialized instruction. Now you might be wondering, can a student have both a 504 and an IEP at the same time? Technically, no, because an IEP includes everything that a 504 would offer. The accommodations you would typically find in a 504 plan, again, things like extra time, preferential seating, extra breaks, those are going to be built into your IEP. So when a student qualifies for an IEP, the IEP itself will cover what the 504 plan would provide and more. Let's take an example of a student. I'm going to call her Maya, and she's been diagnosed with dysgraphia, which is a writing disorder that makes it difficult for her to put her thoughts onto paper. So her 504 plan originally included accommodations like typing on a computer instead of handwriting, extra time for written assessments. But as Maya moved through school, it became clear that those accommodations were not enough. She also needed specialized instruction to build her writing skill capacity, as well as speech therapy to help for her verbal processing. So once Maya qualified for an IEP, her new plan not only include her previous accommodations, but also would lay out or did lay out specific instructional goals and services to help her improve her writing. So while Maya did have that 504 plan and an IEP, her IEP did everything that the 504 plan did and more. So the IEP became the more comprehensive support plan. So now let's talk about when you would transition from a 504 plan to an IEP and that necessity. So often it becomes clear that a 504 plan is no longer enough when accommodations alone aren't bridging that gap. And it could really be transition times that parents start to see this. So transitioning Typically, it's usually these bigger grades where curriculum shifts. Like when you are transitioning from, say, third grade, which is a curriculum shift from learning to read to reading to learn, to maybe sixth grade, going from an elementary school to a middle school where there are multiple teachers and you're moving around. High school, those demands are different, or post-secondary transition. So we're looking at maybe the kid's performance isn't improving, or perhaps their behavior in classrooms is becoming more of a challenge. So some signs that you may want to start to explore an IEP would be widening those academic gaps. So despite having accommodations, your kiddo just isn't making adequate academic progress. So it could be in reading, writing, math, any of those core subjects. There's an increase in behavioral concern. And again, all of these are not just a blip on the radar. You're looking for a smooth, consistent trajectory of this widening or changes and shifts. So teachers or administrators may raise issues related to emotional regulation, attention, or behavior. Those concerns may require more than just accommodations. They may need specialized behavioral support or counseling. And then also if you need a need for related services. So your child may need speech therapy, occupational therapy, or other related services that a 504 plan does not offer. Related services do fall under that IEP. So these services are, again, part of that IEP that a 504 wouldn't offer. So if, as we grow and we develop and we're looking at our kids and their progress, if there's this widening difference and our new things are coming to light, that is the time to start asking the questions and always documenting the data so that when you're asking the questions, you have the data to back it up. Let me give you an example. So I worked with a student. I'm going to name her Emily. She had ADHD and anxiety and started with a 504 plan that gave extra time, seating near the front of the classroom, permission to take breaks when she was overwhelmed. But after a year, Emily was still struggling, both academically and socially. And again, I always say bell to bell, look at all of the comprehensive school day. So her parents decided to request an evaluation for an IEP with some guidance. And as a result, she received a more comprehensive support. So her IEP included not only her accommodations, but also regular counseling sessions and specialized instruction to address her reading challenges. So the key takeaway here is to pay attention to how your kiddo is doing. Again, academically, socially, behaviorally, communication, physically, bell to bell. And if that 504 plan just isn't doing enough, it could be that time to start exploring the possibility of an IEP. Now we've discussed when a transition might be necessary, but let's talk about how to make that transition. So the process can seem daunting, but with the right preparation, you can advocate effectively for your kiddo. Before I keep going, I do want to go ahead and make this plug. There's a course on learningessentialsedu.com. It is from me. It will give you all the information on how to get an IEP. So even if you're familiar with the world of special education, it may be a good time. It is 90 minutes. There's 4 modules. Lots of downloads for you, actionable items, and I will walk you through everything from what are your rights, how to request the IEP, what does the eligibility and the evaluation process look like, and how to follow up from there. And great news, it is only $19. So I'm going to give you some tips here, but if you need more information, that's where to find it. The first thing you're going to do is request a formal evaluation from school. That evaluation is critical because it's going to determine whether your kiddo qualifies for an IEP. You can do that privately, but also can take place through the public school system at no charge for you. It can include academic, behavior, and psychological testing. Be sure to put this request in writing and ask for the timeline so that you're aware of when you put something in writing, when the meeting takes place, if testing is going to occur, what does that look like so that you have all that information in that timeline. I want you to also collect as much data as you can to show that that 504 plan isn't meeting your kiddo's needs. So it could include report cards, standardized test results, teacher reports, work sample, homework, how they handle it, reading, what that looks like. So the more evidence you have, the stronger your case will be during that IEP eligibility meeting. Once the evaluation is complete, the school will hold a meeting to determine if your child qualifies for an IEP. And based on the law, IDEA, there are 2 factors that come into play. The question that is asked at the table is, does your child have a disability that's listed under IDEA, such as a specific learning disability, autism, ADHD, emotional disturbance? There's 13 categories. And the second question that needs to be answered at that eligibility meeting is, does that disability affect their ability to access and benefit from the general education curriculum? So again, does your child have a specific disability that's listed under the 13 categories under IDEA, which is different from a diagnostic code that they could receive a medical provider? And how does that affect their ability to access the curriculum? So if the answer to both those questions is yes, then your child is likely eligible for an IEP. Once your child is determined eligible for an IEP, the real work begins, all right? So you got to then create a plan that meets their needs. This is where your advocacy skills come into play, and you need to make sure that that IEP is tailored to your child's unique needs with clear, measurable goals. Here are some tips with doing that. So I want you to get specific. Make sure the goals are specific and measurable. For example, instead of saying, I'll use Emily again, will improve her reading, the goal should say Emily will increase her reading comprehension by one grade level in X amount of months with weekly intervention. So you're using the SMART goal format when you're getting specific. Make sure related services like speech therapy, occupational therapy, or counseling are included if they are needed. And also, as a parent, I want you to ask the question, where and when and how are those related services going to take place? And that information should also be outlined. And obviously, I want you to stay involved as a parent because you are that crucial part of the IEP team. So don't hesitate to ask the questions, request clarification. You know your kiddo best and your voice matters. So transitioning from a 504 plan, just to recap here, to an IEP is a journey that requires that patience, persistence, and partnership. And I should add, is not something that's going to happen overnight. But it's a journey worth taking if it means that your kiddo is going to get the service and the support they need to thrive in their educational setting. If you're considering that transition for your kiddo, I want you to start by having an open conversation with their school, gather the necessary data, stay involved throughout that process, and remember, you're not alone. There are resources, experts, and advocates, like myself included, that are ready to support you every step of the way. Thanks again for tuning in to the Special Ed Strategist. If this episode has been helpful, please, please, please hit that share button, send it over, text it, email it, however you want to do it, to other parents and educators who might benefit from this conversation. And as always, keep advocating for your kiddos' needs and never underestimate the power of advocacy. Bye for now.